Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Prince Nesta for hosting the past two shows. Prince had plenty of Olympic news on July 16th and July 19th. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember the Summer Games officially open Friday in Tokyo, Japan. But there will be Olympic action even before Friday's opening ceremony. Olympic football kicks off on Wednesday with six women's matches. Japan will host Canada, Britain will play Chile, China is matched against Brazil. Zambia, making its Olympic debut, will face the Netherlands. Sweden will take on the four-time Olympic champion, United States. And Australia will play New Zealand. During the Olympic football draw ceremony in April, IOC President Thomas Bach had this to say.
When on 23rd of July this year, the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 get finally underway, they will send a powerful message of solidarity, resilience, and peace to the world. These Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 will be the light at the end of the dark tunnel we are all still in these very difficult moments. And there, the Olympic football tournament begins even before the opening ceremony. So football will send the very first light at the end of this tunnel to the Japanese people and to all the billions of fans around the world.
With Olympic football shining the light in that dark tunnel, let's review the groupings for the men's and women's tournaments. Ladies first. And here's the FIFA host in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Let me recap the groups and the path to glory for our 12 participating teams. In Group E, playing in Sapporo, will be Japan, Canada, Great Britain, and Chile. Group F, playing in the Miyagi Stadium in Miyagi, will be China, Brazil, Zambia, and the Netherlands. And in Group G, playing in Tokyo Stadium, we have Sweden, our current world champions, USA, Australia, and New Zealand.
New Zealand will also feature in the men's Olympic football tournament, which also includes three African teams, South Africa, Egypt, and Ivory Coast. Here is the FIFA host for the men's draw in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Let me very briefly recap the completed groups for all of you. So we have in Group A, which is going to be played in Tokyo Stadium, we have Japan, South Africa, Mexico, and France. In Group B, that will be played in the Ibaraki Kashima Stadium, we have New Zealand, Korea Republic, Honduras, and Romania. In Group C, which will be placed in the Sapporo Dome, we will have Egypt, Spain, Argentina, and Australia. Finally, in Group D, which is being played in the International Stadium of Yokohama, we would have Brazil, Germany, Côte d'Ivoire, and Saudi Arabia.
We just heard how the Brazilians and the Germans will be playing their group matches at the International Stadium in Yokohama, Japan. 19 years ago, I was at that same stadium in Yokohama where I reported for the Voice of America on Brazil beating Germany 2-0 to lift the FIFA World Cup. And the teams also share more recent Olympic football history. In 2016, playing on home soil in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil beat Germany on penalty kicks to win the gold medal in Olympic men's football. Both the men's and women's Olympic football tournaments will be played in a group stage, followed by quarterfinals, semifinals, and then bronze medal and gold medal matches.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Oliseh, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember Sunday Oliseh won a gold medal as a member of the Nigerian men's football team during the 1996 Atlanta Games here in the United States. As I mentioned earlier, Britain will play Chile Wednesday in the opening match for both teams in the Olympic women's football tournament. The British women are coached by a former Norwegian star who won an Olympic gold medal at the 2000 Sydney Games. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports Olympic presentation, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The English Football Association confirmed Hege Riise as head coach of Team Great Britain for the Tokyo Games. Following the announcement, FA Director of Women's Football Sue Campbell joined Coach Riise for a video news conference where Campbell told reporters Riise's experience as an Olympic champion was a key factor in choosing her to lead Britain in Tokyo.
That Olympic experience, all of the research shows us that people that haven't been to an Olympics before really struggle with their first Olympics, and that includes coaches. It is a unique and very different experience to a World Cup, for example. You know, it's essentially 26 World Cups of different sports happening simultaneously. The village itself is a different environment. And I think the fact that Hege has been there both as a player and a coach will really help her to prepare the team the very best she can.
Before becoming a coach, Riise was a midfielder for Norway and scored 58 goals in 188 appearances during her time with the national team. She won Olympic gold, first as a player in the Sydney Olympics in 2000 and again as assistant coach at London 2012. And now with a ticket to Tokyo, Riise is on course to become only the fifth woman in history to win three Olympic medals in the sport. Her experience gives her a unique perspective from both sides of the pitch, and she has some advice for the Lionesses of Great Britain going into this year's games.
To be careful enough between the games, not run out of gas, have the energy going into every game, and do whatever we can to have the days in between light, fun. So be like when the game is on, you are focused and you want to win. And in between, it has to be some way relaxing, but also focus when you need to, because you need to enjoy the ride as well.
Riise has enjoyed an impressive ride of her own. Along with her Olympic gold medals, she won the UEFA Women's Championship in 1993 and the World Cup for Norway in 1995. That same year, she was named World Player of the Year. Her career took her from the Norwegian League to the United States and then back to Norway, where she retired in 2006. Her biggest highlights were achieved while playing in big tournaments, and Riise says the upcoming experience at the Tokyo Games will enhance the careers of her players as well.
All the experience that the player get playing in big tournament is adding to their experience. And for the English player that go to the Olympics and will be going for the Euros, that's a major experience that they get. And even though the Euros is totally different tournament, but like everything you add to your experience bring you one step further. So I will say that this is a good tournament and experience going forward.
Great Britain are returning to the Olympics after they failed to qualify for Rio 2016. They'll be one of 12 teams taking part in the football tournament at the Tokyo Games. And when Risa was asked which team she's watching out for, the U.S. women's soccer team was at the top of her list.
As always, the U.S. will be a hard team to beat. History-wise, they won almost everything, but not so often the Olympics. So this is an opportunity that we will take. And of course, it's 12 teams, so it will be a competition every game that we play.
Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Meanwhile, Nigerian athletes are settling down at the Olympic Village in Tokyo ahead of the games. One Nigerian sports official who is in Tokyo is Chika Chukwumerejie, the technical director of the Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Chika about the mood in the Nigerian camp.
Yeah, the mood in the camp has been good. When we arrived, we went to Kizarazo, where the training camp was. The camp were literally in a bubble, so it was a hotel. We couldn't leave like the second and fourth floor. So it was just a training, eat, and sleep, you know. But all the athletes were in high spirits. They knew why we're in the bubble because of COVID. But since we arrived at Games Village, it's a totally different atmosphere. Very beautiful. We can see all the high-rise buildings. We can see so many countries, so many professionals, and there's a lot of excitement in the air. So I think the Nigerian athletes are pumped up. So far, all the arrangements have been very good, and the organization is very good. So I've not heard anyone complaining, so I think they are good to go, you know. And hopefully the mood is going to even get better when the game starts and we start getting positive results.
How many Taekwondo athletes will represent Team Nigeria, and what are their medal chances at the games?
Nigeria qualified only one athlete, Elizabeth Iheanacho. She was the first woman in 16 years to qualify since Princess Dudu did so at the 2004 Athens Olympics. And I've trained Elizabeth from scratch. I started training her in 2015. And actually her target was for the Paris 2024 Olympics. So she's 4 years ahead of her time. Yeah, I know she's very talented. But she's never fought at this level. So when we get there, we're going to find out if she can cope with the pressure. But her talent is good enough to win the gold of this, I'm sure. So we're going to try our best to make sure she gets on the podium. Every match is going to be a tough match. I think from the predictions of the draw, she might be meeting Turkey first, not Tata of Turkey. I think that's a former world champion. And she's currently the number 4 in the world. So Elizabeth will have her work cut out for her, but definitely she has a positive mindset, and I also have a positive mindset. I think that to be the best, you have to beat the best. So I don't think I'm going to reduce her chances of being on medal table. So always tell her that, yes, your target was for Paris, but here you are in Tokyo. And it means you're good enough. You beat people to get here. You're still developing, and I don't think you have to wait another 4 years to try and be on the golden podium. So we're going to root for her, push her hard. We're doing a lot of studying videos and studying the opponents and trying to get our techniques and tactics right. So hopefully we'll see how that plays out. When Taekwondo starts, Taekwondo is starting on the, 24th, but Elizabeth will be competing on the 26th in the female minus 67 kilograms category. So yeah, she's going to win on 25. And on 26, we'll see if she can bring her podium dream home.
Can you tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners if the athletes and officials from Nigeria have commenced daily tests of COVID-19? and other protocols of the games?
Since we arrived on the 13th, we've been testing every day for COVID. So we have to take like the sample bottles, we have to put in our saliva, submit it before a certain time and all that. But since we got to Game Village yesterday, today, we're still trying to settle in. So we didn't kind of know our way around. But now they've brought the sample bottle. So from tomorrow, definitely we're going to resume testing for COVID every day. Of course, you can hear of some cases of COVID in the village. We don't know who they are. But I feel so gutted for those athletes because they're out of the competition. And we don't want that to happen to any of our Nigerian contingent. So people have been very careful to obey the rules. We don't go out without wearing our masks. And almost everywhere, you see these hand sanitizers. You see they give you gloves in the dining to wear so that you don't have to like touch cutleries and trays and all that unnecessarily. So the COVID protocols have definitely all around me, I see things have been put in place to try and curtail the spread of COVID to even have any case at all. And all the while, you have signs everywhere to remind you to keep the distance or wear your mask or wash your hands and sanitize your hands and all that. So, yes, unfortunately, this is the reality of these games. Yes, the Japanese, I can see they're very, very ready. And I can see that if not for COVID, definitely these games would have been so, so, so much, much more interesting, you know, so much better. But in these circumstances, they've done wonderfully well. The technology is crazy. The infrastructure equipment is crazy. The organization is off the roof. And it's been very impressive all around.
That's Chika Chukwumerejay, the technical director of the Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria. And Chika spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Tokyo, Japan.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerejay. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. Iron Mike celebrated a birthday on Monday, and we send him belated happy birthday wishes.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports. On the Voice of America, Japan's prime minister says the world needs to see his country can stage a safe Olympics. The AP's Ed Donahue reports.
Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga says the Olympics mark a turning point and that after a long tunnel, an exit is now in our sight. Thomas Bach is chair of the International Olympic Committee.
The Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 will give humanity faith in the future.
Tokyo is under a coronavirus state of emergency.
These athletes share the experience of perseverance with the people of Japan. Now the stage is set for the athletes to shine and inspire the world.
In Tokyo, 74-year-old Fumiko Toramaro says this is a gloomy and unclear Olympics. It was forced against the people's will. There, I think it will be remembered as a gloomy one. Suga said the health and safety of the Japanese people and the Olympic guests from overseas will be protected. Medical experts supervising the Tokyo Olympics say antivirus measures there are working. Dr. Brian McCloskey, chair of the Tokyo 2020 Independent Panel of Medical Experts, says the layered approach of testing has been effective. People tested before they leave.
We see people who get to the airport, and they get filtered out there, then they get filtered out when they get to village.
The games start Friday in a city that is under a coronavirus state of emergency. There's also a slower-than-hoped-for vaccine rollout in Tokyo. McCloskey was asked about the positive coronavirus cases so far.
What we're seeing is what we expected to see, essentially. You know, if I thought all the tests that we did were going to be negative, then I wouldn't bother doing the tests in the first place.
McCloskey says they need to make sure the number of positive cases is as low as possible, and every case should be properly managed. I'm Ed Donahue.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. After last year's Olympics in Tokyo were postponed because of the pandemic, some American student athletes have been balancing school and training for the upcoming games. Connor Smith reports.
College athletes had to put their Olympic dreams on hold while balancing classwork with training after the 2020 Tokyo Games were postponed because of COVID-19. One of those students is Megan Jastrab, who attends Milligan University in Tennessee. She will be competing in track cycling for Team USA. To participate in the Olympics, cyclists must be at least 19 years old. But Jastrab was only 18 last summer during qualifications, turning 19 this January. The COVID delay gave her time to become eligible to ride in Tokyo.
For me personally, it definitely allowed me to mature an extra year and to grow and just get more time on the track, which was really nice for me.
Jastrab relocated to the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs from Milligan after her first semester in 2019. She's been taking virtual classes while training for Tokyo, a difficult schedule to juggle.
If you're kind of getting late into the training block, the last thing you want to do is come home, open up your laptop, and do schoolwork. It's the hardest part, I think, is just like being committed to doing the school. And I'm motivated in my academics and training, so it's a little bit easier for me.
Andrew Capabianco, an American diver who attends Indiana University, says balancing school and training has helped him prepare for Tokyo.
Over the past year, I've definitely learned how to balance that in a really good way, and I think that that's what kind of set me up for success leading into this Olympic year.
Bulgarian swimmer Atani Ivanov, who attends Virginia Tech, says the pandemic gave him and other athletes more time to rest before the games.
I think that's why we're seeing so many better results in all sports after the pandemic, because people just kind of rested mentally from the pressure and from the stress of their specific sport.
Some 11,000 athletes will compete at the Tokyo Olympics. Former Olympian Paul Wiley says the student athletes on Team USA should soak up the experience and rely on the mental energy that they have built up through countless hours balancing school and training.
My advice would be, you might have had to make some sacrifices to be where you are. You might have, taken some of your time away from your studies or away from your sport, but count on the training that you did with your brain to help you, because I think that was advice that was given to me before the Olympics.
Connor Smith for VOA News, Washington.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Catherine, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics, which are set to officially open on Friday. Meanwhile, there are growing concerns surrounding an uptick in coronavirus cases linked to the games, And one health expert says the Olympics could pose a risk of further infections. Joining us once again is VOA's Gwen Uden. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. With just 3 days left before the start of the Tokyo Games, the coronavirus has prematurely dashed the dreams of some Olympic hopefuls before they had a chance to compete for gold. On Team USA, tennis player Coco Gauff has withdrawn from the Games after testing positive for COVID-19. And American basketball star Bradley Beal will also miss the Olympics due to health and safety protocols. Olympic organizers have reported over 60 positive cases linked to the Tokyo Games since the beginning of July. And on Tuesday, public health expert Dr. Kenji Shibuya told Reuters News he believes the protective bubble that was supposed to control the virus has been broken.
You know, visitors, athletes, journalists, delegates, of course, they are supposed to be within the bubble. But, you know, it's not working well. And, you know, it's obvious that the bubble system is kind of broken. And so there seems to be some sort of interaction between, you know, guests and visitors and also local people.
Dr. Shibuya says the inability to track the movements of people makes COVID-19 nearly impossible to control. And he fears close social contact could further spread the highly infectious Delta variant of the virus.
There's no way for them to track the movement of the people and where they are. And there is no quarantine for the athlete and journalists for extended 14 days. So in theory, if they could have implemented all of the measures which they advocated, it could have been done. But realistically, the bubble is not working. And every day on TV and the internet, there are a bunch of, you know, videos which suggest that people are just moving around.
Tokyo is currently under its fourth state of emergency that will last throughout the Games. And in a Tuesday news conference from Japan, IOC spokesman Mark Adams said he believes extensive testing could help prevent another wave of infections.
Today, I think the latest figure is we've had nearly 30,000 tests at the airport of staff and all those staff and athletes, all stakeholders. Each of those nearly 30,000 people has been tested twice before they even arrive. And I think we can give them a level of satisfaction that everything is being done by us to try and ensure that there will be safe and secure games.
Concerns about whether or not the Games will indeed be safe and secure grew over the weekend after two South African football players became the first athletes to test positive for COVID-19 inside Olympic Village. In addition, it's been confirmed that the country's sevens rugby coach Neil Powell has tested positive for the virus and will reportedly miss the entire rugby competition. Tegla Larope, chief of mission for the IOC's refugee Olympic team, is also not expected to attend the Games. The former Kenyan distance runner and world champion bronze medalist tested positive for COVID-19 prior to departing for Tokyo. Organizers say 22,000 people from more than 200 countries have arrived in Tokyo, and many people in Japan fear the Games could trigger an outbreak in the general population. But despite reassurances from the IOC that the Games will be safe, Dr. Shibuya says transparency is the key to gaining the public's trust.
Every time the IOC you know, tells the Japanese people, well, we don't bring in any virus and the Olympics could be done in a safe and secure manner. But people are not convinced. And people are really confused.
Well, what is clear is that we are one day away from the start of the Women's Olympic Football Tournament set to kick off on Wednesday. The men's football tournament will begin the following day. And with the men's South African team in isolation, they will only be allowed to compete if they all test negative 6 hours before their Thursday opening fixture against host country Japan. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. that wraps up the July 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.